Happy New Year! Hi, this is Erin, and welcome to Everything EFL, my little podcast about English language teaching and other teachy stuff too. Credit and honourable mentions will be given during the episode or in the show notes. Let's crack on. Hello, you gorgeous teacher. If you're a new listener, you are most welcome. If you're one of my fabulous regular listeners, welcome back. I'm delighted to be here. New year. Oh dear, what a year. I mean, where do we even start? How was your Christmas? How was your new year? Any crack, as I say in Ireland? Mine was pretty crap. I'm going to be honest. I got the bloody COVID, didn't I? So I couldn't fly home. And then I just, you know, that really annoyed me. And then when we get back to school, I've been back to school, 2 weeks now? And I had that kind of anxiety, and it was the same anxiety that I had when I started online classes, like, you know, because it's sort of new and unfamiliar and uncharted territory. And like, even though I've been teaching for donkey's years, because I hadn't actually been in a classroom for 2 years, I just got that anxiety. I was like, oh my God, what am I going to do? Like, you know, I've forgotten. How do I interact with actual people in a physical workspace? But you know what? It was like riding a bike. The first student came in and it was all good again. And I have to say I had a great week. I just spent it getting to know my students and writing everything I could down about them. So for the, you know, in the future, I could like drop a little question in like, how was work, or how's your brother getting on? And of course, come up with ideas for future lessons to engage them. What did you do on your first day? Did you have a brand new class, or was it the same old faces? Did you use a course book? I hope not. Regardless, the first day, I always find it's a good chance to hear about their break. You know, you can have lots of conversation, and it's a great opportunity to see what common phrases they use so that you can reformulate, reuse, review and recycle them at a later date. You know, those really common conversational phrases where they just make little mistakes and you just have to tweak them and, you know, say, OK, this is the right way to say it. If you want a few ideas about how to reuse, review and recycle, check out episode 67, which has the very unimaginative and self-explanatory title of Review, Reuse and Recycle. Anyway, I had some goals this year. I'm not going to call them resolutions. I've got 3 goals this year. One is to tone up. Not going to happen. One is to not give up chocolate. Because at the end of the day, we all need something to look forward to, don't we? At the end of a long day or week or that time of the month. Am I right, ladies? And my other goal was actually a classroom one. And it was to include 3 things in every lesson, if possible. 1, some positivity or mindfulness. 2, some kind of reflection. And 3, some kind of collaboration or shared goal. Now, I have nice long lessons, so, you know, this is fairly doable for me, but maybe you don't have that, so maybe you could think about putting those things into your class every week. So we started with just individual questions. As they came in, I was asking them, you know, about your family, how long have you been here, just trying to put them at ease and find a few questions, just find a few, like, tidbits of information about them. And then I got them working in pairs or threes with questions on Jamboard. If you're not really sure about Jamboard, check out episode 50. We couldn't give them any handouts because of the COVID restrictions and they couldn't really mingle. So I decided to keep using Jamboard because you can kind of put all the information you need on there for the class. And, you know, students can add to the slides as well with their own ideas and stuff like that. So it seems to be working pretty well. I actually asked them this week what they thought of Jamboard and they seemed to really enjoy it. So that's good to know. So I noted down some emergent language for error correction purposes later. Remember, emergent language is the language they produce for the purpose of communicating, and a lot of it is kind of really everyday stuff, so they are likely to repeat it. So I really do think it's worth really listening when they're having those kind of relatively simple conversations, because they do tend to make the same mistakes. So for example, one of my students said, "I like riding a bike." You know, you could argue it's not wrong, but I would argue it's not particularly natural either. And it's much better to say I like cycling. So that was one thing I wrote down in my notebook, along with a few other sort of little incorrect things they were saying. And I wrote about 8 or 10 on the board, incorrect sentences. And I asked the students to copy them into their book and then just spend a little bit of time alone to make changes. So note that I use the word make changes, not correct mistakes. This took a little bit of time, which was nice. It just slowed the pace of the lesson down, added another dimension to it. And then I asked the students to check their ideas together. But before we did that, I gave them some phrases to use while they were checking their ideas together. This classroom language that enables them to communicate clearly and effectively. And, you know, it's not complicated, but it's really essential language. So just little phrases like, I think you should add something here. I don't think this is necessary. You know, just take your time with it as well. You know, show them the phrases, drill the phrases, get them to repeat it, do a couple of examples on the board. And then give them time to read them again silently. And then when they checked their ideas together, they used the language. So that was really nice. And then I got them to come up one by one, you know, with the restrictions and everything, and correct the language on the board. And then that was the point where we started talking about the kind of the grammar things. So, for example, why do we need ing after with? So a bit of analysis, common phrases, common grammar. You're going to ask these same questions again and again when you are reformulating. But that's good because they see the same forms again, the same expressions again. And, you know, hopefully some of these, this analysis and the answers they give will become more automatic. And, you know, the idea is that it might kind of seep into their speaking and writing. I mean, who knows, but it's worth a try, right? And then I gave them another set of questions. A little bit more kind of reflective this time, and with an element of positivity as well. So one of the questions was, tell your partner one thing you like about yourself. Give your partner a compliment. What do you like and dislike about learning English? Again, all very conversational. So stuff they're probably going to need and repeat. And then we repeated that process of writing a few wrong sentences on the board. It gave them a chance to repeat that language, the phrases of checking their ideas together. So that is good. That repetition of that classroom language is so important. But I made a point of showing them the slide with the phrases and reminding them to use it before actually getting them to check. And then tomorrow, what I'm going to do is we're going to put this emergent language into some context. So we're not just looking at this list of isolated sentences. The students are actually going to produce a dialogue using some of these phrases. So they've got about maybe 15 or 18 to choose from. They don't have to use all of them, but they have to try and use some of them. But, and I'm going to give you a little bit of advice here, guys. If you want your students to produce some kind of dialogue, give them some time to set the scene first. You're asking them to create something from nothing. So they have to imagine, you know, they're meeting someone and they're talking to them, and this is the dialogue. Who are they? Are they students? Are they a mother and son? Where are they? What, you know, what's your relationship? How does that conversation go? So they discuss the context and the place and all of that first. And hopefully this will kind of avoid that situation of when you set that dialogue task and they just kind of sit there looking blankly at, you know, an empty sheet of paper. You know, get them to really discuss it first. Give them that time. And then hopefully the actual writing of the dialogue will be a little bit more natural and a little bit easier for them. And also, students tend to remember new language as part of a longer text. Okay, so creating that dialogue puts that language in that sort of longer context, and then they are creating it themselves. So it's a win-win. So after that, I always do this, but I put down the phrases and vocabulary on little just pieces of paper for future reference. You can play games with them. They can test each other. And there are sort of two types of cards. So the first one was kind of a bit more technical, a bit more usage, a bit of analysis required. So, for example, one of the emergent language pieces that came out was, how many times did you stay there? No, sorry, how many time did you stay there? And of course, it should be how much. So on the card, I wrote two sentences. I wrote, which is correct? How much time did you stay? How many time did you stay? And then I wrote the answer on the bottom, and they have to say why. So obviously the answer is it's how much time, because time is uncountable. So just they just have to really think about it. And then the other kind of card was just your plain old vocabulary card. So you have something like this. We had the word voluntary that came up. So the card looks like this. You've got adjective, colon, voluntary, okay, but I put it in a phrase. I put voluntary job / position. Again, phrases are so much better than words. And then there's just the meaning underneath, unpaid work. And then an example sentence. And, you know, try to make your example sentences kind of relevant to the students and their lives and not completely random. So mine was very, very simple. It was just the example sentence was, I'm looking for a voluntary job in Dublin. That's it. Nice and easy. Again, keep it simple. You don't, you know, just there's no point in confusing them or making things any more complex than they have to be. And then we moved into New Year's resolutions. I mean, why not? And first of all, again, bit of reflection. So there were a couple of questions like last year, the highlight was, last year was hard because. So they kind of thought about their ideas first. Again, give them time to think. Not everybody thinks quickly. Give them a minute to think. And you'll find that even the faster students do, you know, they'll sit there and encourage them, make a couple of notes, write a couple of words down. And then that will just aid them when they actually discuss their ideas, which they did. And then we had a list of half sentences that the students had to complete. So things like, next year I want to cut down on, next year I want to give up, next year I want to achieve, or something like that. And then I did a bit of analysis before I actually got them writing. So, you know, things like give up and cut down on. I gave an example, like I want to cut down on drinking. And then I said to them, okay, why do we need an ing verb here? And of course, the answer is, on is a preposition, up is a preposition, we always follow it. And the other question is, could I use a noun instead, like yoga? For example, I want to take up yoga. And then I just think it's better to do this before the exercise so they have a chance of actually kind of absorbing that information and writing it correctly. That's the idea anyway. What do you think? So basically that was my first lesson. It was fairly slow and easy, lots of conversation. It took as long as it took, which was fine. So as you know, what I got from that personally was lots of personal information that I can use in the future, like I said, in conversation between myself and the student. And then you also get the idea of how they interact, who's like a bit dominant or could make a good leader, who's good at explaining things, who's not. Who's word salad, who's shy, who needs a bit of encouragement or support. All this stuff is invaluable, and the sooner you get to know this stuff about your students, the better. I don't think it's necessary to do any sort of actual exercises or anything like on the first day. Just let them be themselves, and that gives you a better chance of getting to know them and kind of set the right tone from the beginning. So I'd love to know what you guys did on your first day. You could DM me and tell me. You could find the post on my social media, my Facebook page. I changed the name. It's now called Get Away From That Course Book. Or Instagram on Everything EFL Teacher. You will see like a little ad that I put out every time I release an episode. It's a little sound bite from the episode. And you can comment under that if you like and tell me what you did and also what you think of my ideas. Also on my Instagram bio, you'll see my link tree, and there are a couple of freebies in there if you would like to help yourself. I'm thinking of doing a webinar soon about building students' confidence. It's just an idea I'm thinking about, but if you follow me, DM me and tell me if you think this is an interesting idea or not, because I just want to get like a little bit of ideas about, you know, who's interested, is it worth doing, that kind of thing. And if you follow me on Instagram and not Facebook, I would advise you to join my Facebook community. Again, it's called Get Away From That Course Book. On Instagram, you'll get a few little tidbits on my stories and on my posts, but the really good juicy stuff is in my Facebook group. So I would love to see you there. Okay, so I'll see you again in a couple of weeks, guys. It's lovely to be back. And as always, share the love. Bye.